This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
Matt Gould joins us today, analyst and editor of what was the Dairy and Food Market Analyst Newsletter. But Matt, you have evolved that to a brand new publication you call the Weekly Wire.
Yeah, Lee, the Weekly Wire is a team publication where we have members of the EverAg team across the spectrum, including analysts and brokers in both dairy and grain, and myself writing it every week, which is, I think, a terrific evolution from what was the Dairy and Food Market Analyst that was written solely by me.
And your website is?
Ever.ag is a new website name, and you can subscribe to the Weekly Wire through there.
And that's EVER.ag.
Correct.
Tuesday.
Our guest today is Dr. Nicole Sanchez, a research animal scientist with the USDA Livestock Issues Research Unit. And she discusses stress on the farm, but not from the farmer's point of view, from our animals.
Well, stress is all around us, and we may not experience stress every day, but our animals can, and they're hidden. Can be hidden stressors such as sickness. Sickness is a stressor to animals. We have heat stress, which obviously is not an issue right now, but we could be looking at it soon. And then natural disasters can significantly influence our stress responses and what our cattle and humans as well experience. So stress is an important aspect, especially in cattle. And so it's the body's reaction trying to get us back to our baseline, to our normal after being thrown off by some kind of stressor. And stress consists of three different things. The first is the stressor itself. It's the stimulus. It can be a barking dog that may be a psychological stressor for our cattle. And so the animal takes these signals in, initiates a stress response. And this is mediated by different stress hormones within the body that have different physiological effects on the body, such as increased respiration, changes in heart rate and blood flow, and subsequent effects on different body systems from digestion to reproduction and immunity.
Wednesday.
On this month's Ask the Vet with Dr. Ryan Leiderman, what are some of the strangest or just downright weird vet visits you've experienced?
A couple of them that just come to the top of my mind is I remember one time when I was in veterinary school and we were having a class where people on my rotation were learning how to castrate bulls. And so one of the methods is the knife technique. And we were doing that procedure and a classmate of mine had castrated a bull. So he had removed the first testicle and that was normal. And then when he went to remove the second one, it was actually a fully intact uterus and had two ovaries, two uterine horns and everything, just like a female. So that was really weird because the definition of hermaphrodite would be a animal that possesses both reproductive organs from the male and the female. And extremely rare to see true hermaphrodites in cattle.
Thursday.
The Food and Drug Administration's guidance on plant-based beverages use of dairy terms is a first step, but there's still a lot of work to do. As we're joined by National Milk's Chris Galen. And Chris, this has been an ongoing issue discussing these plant-based beverages.
Well, it's an ongoing issue, and for better or for worse, FDA finally came out with a voluntary, what they call a guidance document on the packages and the labeling terminology on the packages of these fake milk products. On the one hand, things like almond milk and soy milk have been using the M word for so long that we're going to continue allowing it to happen, and we definitely don't like that. On the other hand, though, they did say that in almost all cases, these fake milk products don't have the same nutritional content as real milk, and that has to be displayed and pointed to on the front of the package, which is a great thing, and it's a main point, Bill, that National Milk has been making over the years.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to be looking at the economic benefits of cow comfort. This was recently presented by Dr. Rick Grant from the Meinert Institute. Every cow's got 24 hours a day, just like you and I. She'll spend about 12 to 14 hours a day basically lying down. About 80% of the time she's lying down, she will be ruminating. She'll also spend about 4 to 5 hours a day eating, about one half hour of drinking water, and believe it or not, she'll spend 2 or 3 hours socializing. That's walking around, grooming, licking each other, neat stuff like that. And then, of course, another 2.5 to 3 hours in the milking parlor. So certainly we have to manage that, and cow comfort becomes a big factor. So our take-home messages are, number one, time management is important. Certainly cows are comfortable, will increase dry matter intake, have a healthier milk quality in terms of lower semantic cell count and a lower culling rate.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to DairyRadio.com.
Dairy Rewind.